a lot of people know about Jesus, but from afar. He's that figure hanging on a cross with his head down and a crown of thorns. But have you ever wondered what it would be like to look at Jesus up close?
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Halleck, and Pastor Mark, and I would love to extend an invitation to you if you do not have a church home. Maybe you've been listening to Straight Talk for a while, or you just tuned in today. Come and give us a visit. We would love to have you. We'd love to meet you and hear your story. There's over 30 celebrations on a Sunday morning. Some are in English, some are in Spanish, some are even in Mandarin Chinese. And if you'd want more information, visit our website at www.newlifechicago.org. And even if it's not New Life, find a church home somewhere and get involved and get invested, because it's been one of the greatest resources for the growth of my faith and in so many other people's lives. We believe it's God's design that you don't float around as a Lone Ranger Christian, but that you develop your faith in the context of community. So we'd love to meet you. Come and visit us, or visit somewhere and get connected. You can get more information at newlifechicago.org.
Thanks, Josh. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Straight Talk. We continue with Pastor Mark's series called Jesus Up Close tonight. And it's the second message in his series, and it's called No More Excuses. Let's jump right in. Our text will be found in the book of John. We're going to be in chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Here's Pastor Mark's message called No More Excuses.
We are currently in a series of messages called Jesus Up Close. It seems to me that a lot of people know about Jesus, but from afar, at a distance. He's that figure hanging on a cross with his head down and a crown of thorns. But have you ever wondered what it would be like to look at Jesus up close? Have you imagined what it would be like to walk 4 feet from him and stare into his face? What would Jesus look like? I know you've seen paintings in some churches of Jesus at the door knocking. Ever seen that famous painting? For some reason, he's blonde and blue-eyed. I don't think Jesus was blonde and blue-eyed, to be honest with you. But to look in the Savior's face, to look close up, to hear his words, to feel him reach out and touch you, the power of it. And you say, Pastor Mark, boy, I really wish I could have lived in those days and just got close up to Jesus and listened at his feet. But those days are gone, and I guess I missed them. And I want to tell you, listen, that very Jesus that walked on this earth for 33 years, that never really traveled more than 60 miles away from the place that he was born, that never wrote a book, That Jesus is here today in the power of the Spirit. You see, you still have the ability to walk into Jesus up close and experience his powerful touch. In fact, Jesus said, I must leave so that I can come. Jesus said, I must leave so that I can come in a way that I can touch everybody's life, and that's via his Spirit, his Holy Spirit. And so although you may not be able to touch the physical garment of Jesus, or you may not be able to experience his physical hand on your shoulder, you may not be able to touch his face and look into his physical eyes, but you have the power today to experience the incredible, impacting presence of the living Jesus via his Spirit. I want you to know that. Today I want to talk to you about what it means to have no more excuses. And that's what I've entitled this message, and I'm going to ask that you take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 9 of John, the 5th chapter. In this story you'll find a man that made excuses why he was to continue in his place of being stuck, and why he still had his problems. You know, we've We're pretty good at excuses sometimes, aren't we? We've honed the art of excuses at times. I was reading recently, these are actual excuses of notes that were sent to teachers of why students were not in school. Now, you and I know that sometimes students, well, they fake their own notes. And so some of these may be fake notes, but these are actual excuses sent to teachers of why a student was not in school. One of the notes read, "My son is under the doctor's care and should not take PE today. Please execute him." I think they meant excuse him. Another actual note said, "Dear school, please excuse John for being absent on January 28th, 29th, 30th, 31, 32, and 33. I have a feeling that was written by a student in grade school and not the parent. Another excuse said, "John has been absent because he had two teeth taken off his face." Okay. Another one said, "Chris will not be in school because he has an acre in his side." I think they meant ache. Another one said, "Please excuse Tom for being absent yesterday. He has diarrhea and his boots leak." I think that's too much detail. Another literal excuse said, "Sally won't be in school a week from Friday. We have to attend a funeral." Interesting that they could plan a funeral a week from Friday, right? Another one, I love this one. Moms will relate to this. "Please excuse my son's tardiness. I forgot to wake him up, and I didn't find him until I started making the beds." Oops, there's Junior. What are you doing here? You're supposed to be in school. And last excuse, "Please excuse Harriet from school yesterday. We forgot to get the Sunday paper off the porch, and when we found it on Monday, we thought it was Sunday." There's a lot of excuses we make for not doing the things that we know we should do. And sometimes we become very proficient in excusing why we are stuck in the same old problem that we were stuck a year ago in. Come up with reasons why it's okay for us to be stuck. And maybe you've come to church this morning and you're stuck. But you've been rehearsing the excuses of why it's okay for you to be stuck so long that now you don't even feel like you really have to get unstuck because you have your excuses of why it's all right for you to still have the same problems you had 2 years ago. Why it's okay for you still to be in the same place you were maybe 5 years ago. Why you can't move forward in your life. Today we'll see a man who was stuck and made excuses before Jesus and what Jesus did to liberate him from the place that he was stuck in. I'm going to ask that you stand for the reading of the word. It's in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. I will be reading out of the New International Version. It says, "Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda." Just pause for a moment here. Bethesda actually means the house of mercy. Place or the house of mercy. They've done excavation, by the way, and found this pool near the mount, the Temple Mount. And just in the 1960s, they discovered a pool with five colonnades that is probably what this pool was. And it says it was surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who had been there, an invalid, for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" The invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Word of the Lord. You may be seated. Now, I want to give you a little bit of a background here, just so you will track with what we're talking about. Jesus had been ministering for some time already. He was walking with his disciples, and there happened to be in Jerusalem, there happened to be this pool called Bethesda, the place or the house of mercy. We don't know a lot about the history of this pool, but we do know, and some of your Bibles include it as an anecdotal phrase that says an angel, it seems to be that the legend or the history or the superstition was that an angel would come down every so often and touch the water. And the ripples of that water would be seen by the people that lie sick around the pool. And it was said that whoever entered in the pool, the first person to enter in the pool right after the angel had touched the water, they would experience healing. And so word traveled around that there's this pool with miraculous healing power. There's some places in the world today that the sick go to and travel to, expecting the same sort of healing to happen. There's a place in France called Lourdes where people travel from all over to go to the waters that supposedly there may be supernatural healing involved in it, looking for it. So imagine this place. People would go and they would live there. You would walk into this pool area surrounded by five pillars, colonnades, and the deaf, the blind, the crippled, the sick, they would lay their mats around the pool. They would be there day after day, week after week, month after month, hoping that they would see the ripple in the water, that there would be some sort of supernatural touch, and if they could just throw themselves in the pool, if they could just get into the water in time, then the hope, the expectation was, I'll be healed, I'll be changed, my life will be different.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message called No More Excuses, which is from our series called Jesus Up Close. After tonight's broadcast, I will tell you more about how you can get a free copy of tonight's message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Tonight's Straight Talk is called No More Excuses.
Jesus happens to walk upon this pool, and it says that as Jesus approached this pool and he looked around to the people that were sick around the pool, he saw a man, and for some reason this man caught his attention. He was an invalid. I don't know if he was an invalid because of an accident. I don't know if he was born that way. It seems to be that probably he had been paralyzed somehow and was unable to move about too much. He had been in this condition for 38 years. Imagine, every day your existence is to go to this pool, lay on your mat with other sick people, and just look at the pool expecting maybe that somehow, somewhere, you would be the person that could jump in the pool and be healed. He lived off of the charity of other people that would come and feel sorry and give him some food or give him a few small pieces of coin that could help him out. And maybe his family would drop by once in a while just to see how he was doing. But week after week and day after day, he lived in this condition. Stuck, hurt, wondering if he would ever make his way out of it. An encounter with Jesus would change everything. And as I look at this man, there's a couple things that come to my mind. And if you're taking notes, I want you to jot them down. The first thing that comes to my mind is this. The first step to healing and wholeness is you need to make a decision, or you need to make a choice. Now, this man was physically stuck in his problem, but I believe that there's a lot of people that are stuck in a lot of different ways. You may be stuck in your relationship, stuck in your spiritual walk, stuck in some addiction, stuck in some depression, stuck in some cycle that you repeat over and over, and you've been repeating it for a long time. Stuck in your struggle, you're wrestling with God. I don't know what your stuckness is, but I know that there's a lot of people that experience a problem and get used to it and live with it, and it becomes their life and their condition, and they no longer try to get out of it anymore. They just assume, this is my plight in life. This is how I will live the rest of the days of my life. Verse 6 says, and when Jesus saw him lying there, he learned, maybe by asking his disciples or someone else, that he had been in this condition for 38 years. And so Jesus approaches this man laying on the mat, invalid, close to the water. And the first thing that Jesus says to him, he looks at the man and he says, do you want to get well? Now, what a question. Seriously. It's like going to someone that's in the hospital bed, that's come to see a doctor, laying there, and saying, hey, do you really want to get well? You would think, hold on a second. Why do you think I'm here? Of course I want to get well. We assume that most people want to get well. But I believe that Jesus was asking a question, because I believe that Jesus knew and understood how our human mind works and what our tendency is with problems that we encounter. You see, I believe that healing of every kind, body, soul, and spirit, it starts with a choice. We really have to decide, do we want to get well? Oh, I know that it seems obvious, but I believe that many people say they want to change, but don't really. They say they want to get well, but they really don't. In fact, I think that many people are more comfortable with an old problem than with a new solution. I think that we start living a certain way, and we get used to the way we live, and our problem becomes our buddy. And we have a love-hate relationship with our problem, and we get stuck with it, and we learn to live with it, and we make excuses about it, and we, deep inside, with our mouths, we say we want to change, but when it comes to really taking action, when it comes to taking steps, we never take the steps. We never take action. We say, I want to change. But when the opportunity for change comes, we never step forward. We want people to think we want to change, but there's something that keeps us paralyzed, something that keeps us stuck. And Jesus, knowing the heart of this man, asked this obvious question, do you want to get well? There's millions of Americans today that are stuck some way. There's Americans that are stuck in alcohol abuse, eating disorders, gambling compulsions, pornography obsessions, compulsive spending, drug abuse, hundreds of other bad habits. There are people that are stuck in their walk with God, unwilling to release and offer forgiveness. And they stay stuck. There are people that are stuck in their conditions of poverty, saying they want to change, but over and over living in cycles of poverty. There are women that say they want to have a healthy relationship, but seem to gravitate over and over to abusive relationships and stay there and go from one bad relationship to another. there's young men that say, I want to get out of this life of partying and settle down and do something more with my life than getting high on the weekends and live from one party to another because I think I have a destiny that's bigger than that, but they continue on in the same cycle over and over. There are people that say, I want to get right with God and I'm tired of being far from God, but they live every year still in that same place of being far from God. And so Jesus stops the crowd, silences the volume of the noise around and asks this deep, penetrating, powerful questions in a clear voice. He says to you and I and every individual that's stuck, do you want to get well? The second thing I want you to understand, it starts with a choice. You have to determine, do you really want to get well? Let me tell you, if it were easy to change, you would have changed already. What keeps us from changes is that change is painful. It causes us to have to face some fears that we have. To release how we've lived for years. If it were easy, you would have done it a long time ago, but it's not easy to change. It's easier to do what you've always done, to repeat the pattern over and over. But change means that you get out of your comfort zone. It change means that you have to face some fears and you have to go to the hard places. You have to trust where you haven't trusted. Change is risky, but you'll never change unless you decide, I want to change more than I want to stay in this old place. I'm willing to face the pain and the risk and discomfort to set my life in a different course or direction. Until you are sick of being sick, until you are tired of your condition, until you get to the point where you learn enough that you want to change, that you hurt enough that you want to change, that you get enough help that you want to change, you will stay the same. So Jesus says, do you really want to change? The second thing that I want you to understand and about change is that we need to stop making excuses for why we're still bound by our problem. You see, Jesus asked this man a simple question, do you want to change? Notice his response. In verse 7, he says, sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water's stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Well, hold on a second. Is that what Jesus asked him? Did he ask him, why haven't you changed? No, he asked him, do you want to change? You see, in his mind, he'd already built up the excuses of why he couldn't change. And I want you to notice that his excuses involved other people. He says nothing about himself, nothing about his responsibility, nothing about his choices. He blames his stuckness on his environment and on the lack of caring of other people. In other words, he tells Jesus, if other people would change, then I would be different. If someone else cared a little bit more about me, then I wouldn't be in this condition. If I had more support, if people weren't so selfish. Oh, you should see the blind guy. When he hears a little water, I mean, he just runs. Doesn't care who he knocks over, who he runs into. I mean, he's in there before anybody else. Last time I was trying to get in, my neighbor here, the deaf guy, man, he crawled right over me. I mean, I was closer. I was in line. He could have just pushed me over, but no. He wasn't. He had nothing to do. These people around me are selfish.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Jesus Up Close. Tonight was the first half of his message called No More Excuses. Join us again tomorrow for the second half. And before you go, as I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe.com. There you will find other messages by Pastor Mark as well. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are just $5 plus shipping. Pastor Mark's book, Unstuck, is also available, and that is only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, why don't you check out a New Life location this Sunday? Log on to our website where you will find 25 locations throughout Chicago. www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. Well, please do tune in again tomorrow for the next Straight Talk as we conclude our message called No More Excuses. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thank you so much for listening. Please have a great night, and God bless.